Looking at some of these fellas in the choir, some of the rest of you, I wish you'd all get in if you can, especially on Saturday night. I counted about 10 or 12 in the room down there last night, and I appreciate that. But if about 2/3 of the church is up here every Saturday night or any night, you can come. It'd help everybody. I want you to pray for Nellie Sell. She's still in the hospital. And Martha Bowery's daughter is sick, and she's sick. Her daughter will have surgery Monday, tomorrow. Parks and Opal Boland, Denver Tester, Bertie Kaywood, and Sandra Honeycutt's parents are still sick. Her daddy's real sick, so we pray. And Marie and her sister's little nephew passed away the other night. 7 months old baby. But I told them just leave it with God, because he takes care of them little lambs. He just put another in his bosom. Well, that's the way it happens. It ain't bad when somebody goes out of here if they're going to heaven. Especially them little babies, that's where they go. I believe that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Then you pray for Aaron Berkeley, he's sick. And both of the gray beards are sick. Beth's sick. I don't know how many more are sick, but it's a lot of folks sick. And it has been rough, I'll tell you. There's a few times here I couldn't even talk. And a lot of folks are glad, I guess, of that, but I couldn't.
Amen.
You said anything. We have a board meeting tonight at 6:30. We're going to have it right at the choir practice. As soon as we get through the choir practice here, we'll go right over there and have it. Get that over with, because after I preach, as old as I'm getting anymore, I can't go to no board meeting. And of course, most of the time after I preach, some of you are bored, so you can't go to meeting. So we're going to have it at 6:30 and get it over with. And you remember that. I'll probably forget it myself, but you remember it. You'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock for choir practice, prayer meeting, and of course some of them will be here at 5 praying. But you come back. And let's be faithful to the Lord this year and faithful to what Amen. He's got for us. And I guarantee you, God will do big things for us. I was trying to find, Carolyn wrote it down here. But anyway, I guess this is above your tithes. We give about 30, this church gave $31,557. That includes, and I just estimated the ones that you write the check for. But, the church through charity mission gave $27,957.93 last year through charity, and that's not including the other missionaries, but I figured about 31,000 or somewhere in that neighborhood would take in all the missionaries, and that's pretty good. I appreciate that.
There's
never been a time in this church history that we'd give that much to missions. Last year we were giving about December, we give 300 and something, I believe we said. And this year we give 4,500 and something. Last month, I'm talking about it. I'm just talking about December. And that's good, isn't it? I'm not bragging on you. I'm just bragging on how good God is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wonderful. You've been feeling better and doing better. Nobody's missed that. And God's been pleased with it. And the missionaries are thankful. Talked to Brother Cheatwood, and he said he is thankful for what people is doing over here, not only in the money, but in the praying. And you keep praying for them, and praying for the work over there, and things going good. And I appreciate how the Lord's blessing. The ushers, come on, we'll receive the offering for today, and you give whatever God's laid on your heart. And if you haven't been tithing last year, do it this year, and God will bless you. How many said he'd open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you couldn't contain? He said that. And I'm glad for it. Now you bow and pray with us. Brother Sam, you lead us.
Our gracious, loving, eternal, almighty Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
God, beside me there's no other.
Yes, amen. Thank God.
Hallelujah. You loved us. Our Father,
yes, blessed Jesus.
Hallelujah. Your Son was obedient.
Thank you, Father. I appreciate
the death for every man. Lord, you laid on him to never give us all.
Yeah,
bruised. Our Father, Lord God, by his stripes, his stripes were you, Lord. Our Father, I thank you for that this morning. Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, I'm glad I'm part of it today. Lord God, I'm the least in it, but I'm glad I'm part of the family. I'm glad we're in the household.
Yes,
Father, an eternal household. A household that's on its way to glory.
Yeah.
Our Father, and I pray for every heart in here today.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Whatever they need.
Yes, Father. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Our Father, you're here to help us. You're here, God. You know me.
Yeah, bless the Lord, God.
You will do. You are a doing. And I pray, Father, God, that you be in my path. Christ, her. Yeah. Lord, in my prayer.
Yes,
Lord.
Father,
God, leave him in. Yes. His mighty strength, power, Lord God. Lord, Father,
yes,
be easy for him to preach.
Yes.
And Lord God, be easy for us to hear.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not only be a hearer, but be a doer of thy divine word.
Lord God.
Lord God, thank you for your word.
Yes.
It's quick,
yes,
powerful,
precious,
it's
precious.
Yes.
God,
God
is precious.
And it'll cut, and it'll work.
Yes, it
like
will
a fire,
do
like a hammer. It'll quick. Now, Father, I pray we'll believe it. And now, Father, we'll apply it to our lives.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
As it Mary did, she said it at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that part she received, nobody could take away from her.
Yeah.
Lord God, I'm glad of that. Now, Father, move today. Lord, it's been good. Been good, our Father, since we got up this morning.
Yeah.
Lord God, realize that we're alive and free. Yeah. Been set free by the
field.
Now, Father, Lord God, now move in a heavy way.
Yeah.
I say again, God, sitting in here bowed down, don't have the victory and not enjoy yourself. I pray for him.
Yes, Lucifer,
God Almighty, God. Well, God, we are free.
Yes,
there for
yes, amen. Glory to God.
We're free to leave.
Yes,
Lord Jesus.
God, you're faithful.
Lord, and I pray.
Faithful Father,
have that joy. Fruits of the Spirit.
Yes,
Lord
God. Yes, Lord.
Lord.
Mighty things, Lord Jesus.
God, there's peace in Jesus.
Glory to God.
Father's
Everybody stand and sing Amazing Grace. That's all the singers are sick and the devil trying to defeat everybody. But I want to tell you right now, when there ain't nobody else to sing and there ain't nothing else to sing, we can still sing about the grace of God. I mean, that's the only thing that's going to get you through is the grace of God in it. I mean, after all, you're not going to make it because you're what you think you are, or what you think you ought to be. Make it by the grace of God. I'm glad for you. Let's sing it.
Thank you.
say that again. That too many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. That's what you made it last year by. You didn't make it because you were doing better than somebody else. It's all because of the grace of God. I want you to think about it when you're singing it. Too many dangers, and you don't know how many dangers you come through. And some of you are going to face some dangers this next year. I mean, you're going to face it. And if you don't find grace to help you, you're going to mess up. I'm looking at people right now that you're going to mess up this next year. Because you think, well, somebody hadn't done me right. God has. It's grace. I mean, you can forget about what somebody else has done to you. You better think about what God's doing for you. You better get that on your mind, honey. And I don't care what they've done to you last year. It's what God's done for you. And what God's going to do for you. And you better listen to me. Because I know what I'm talking about. I know the devil has defeated people last year. Because they thought, well, people just didn't treat me right. Well, I know that. They ain't supposed to treat you right. In this world, you're supposed to have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Where did you ever read in here where you're supposed to have it good? Why, if somebody didn't come by and mess you up, you'd never even think about God. Most of the time, when you're thinking about him and praying to him, most of us pray when we get in trouble more than we do otherwise. But thank him tonight, or today rather, that he is around here and that he come to help us. Let's sing that verse again. Keep praying for those that are sick. There's a lot of folks sick.
Yeah.
A lot of us sick. In fact, I don't know whether I'll get through it today or not. I've had this stuff too. Now, I'm not going to fuss at nobody unless they stay at home. But if I come, and I'm soon be 70, if I can make it, you can. Amen. All right. I want you to turn with me in the 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 from my text, and then I'm going to go from there. Brother Charles Lewis was here the other night and preached on the stones over in Joshua. And he said those stones are down in Jordan. They couldn't do a thing about it. They couldn't get out. The children of Israel come by and got them out, took them on, put them up on the bank. I said if they could talk, this is what they'd say. Then I got to thinking, well, I know some that can talk. So I'm going to talk to them that can talk. Now, I just want to ask him a few questions today while we're preaching. The Bible said in chapter 2 and of 1 Peter, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom cometh as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed by men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And I want you to underline that. I mean, you're not to offer up no fleshly, carnal sacrifice to God. He don't want that. He wants them spiritual sacrifices. And the Bible says you're built up for that, to acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just talk to you for a moment. I mean, maybe an hour or however long. Now, these stones that the brother said couldn't talk, and they couldn't, but it got me to thinking about the ones that could. So I'm going to talk to some of these brethren that can talk. Living stones, lively stones. I mean, and they're still living, bless God. I mean, they're built up and they're still living. I want to talk to Peter first. I want to say, Peter, I want to ask you something. What happened to you that day? You were down there fishing. What happened? Well, the Lord came by. I mean, and he said, follow me. And I just had an urge to do it. Dropped everything I had and took off with him. I mean, over in Matthew, he said, I just had to go. I don't know what it was come by. Can't explain what it was. But when he came by, me and my brothers was fishing down there, and I knew what was happening to you. I done the same thing Peter did. I just got up, left my nets, and followed Jesus. Are you sad you did? No, sir. I'm glad I did. Peter said, I wasn't so hot when I was following the Lord. I denied him. I cursed and I swore, and I was all messed up. But one day I was sitting in the upper room, and the Holy Ghost came down there where I was. And I mean, filled the house where I was sitting. And buddy, I want to tell you something after that. It didn't matter what they said about me or anything else. I'd stand up for Jesus. He said, you know, after I got filled with the Spirit of God, I just got up, and it didn't matter what they wanted to do. I mean, I just got up and preached. I mean, when the Holy Ghost come, we all acted drunk. But said we wasn't drunk, and I got up and explained that to them on the day of Pentecost. I said, they're not drunk as you suppose, he just said, but the ninth hour of the day, the third hour of the day, but said, I want to tell you something, son. I mean, when that Holy Ghost came on me, I preached like I never had preached before, and I preached to them Jesus, and I had 3,000 souls got saved that day. And they didn't get saved like they're getting saved in this day. I mean, Peter, how did they do it? Well, the Holy Ghost got a hold of them. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't ask them about it if they believed. I just preached and they got saved. Amen. By the power of God. Amen. Well, I see James is here in this chapter. James and John. Well, did you fellas help? Yes, sir. We was fishing. Had about the same thing happen to us. I mean, we was out there and we was fishing, and our brother James, there's James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. We're getting ready to go out again. Now, I don't know why he didn't call my father, but he didn't call him. He called us, me and John, and we went out with him, thank God. And you know what? I've enjoyed the trip. I mean, I enjoyed him taking us up on the mountain. I mean, he had old Peter and me and James and John. All of us went up there on the mountain of the Transfiguration, and we saw some things up there because we got in the glory. Well, I mean, you reckon we could still get it? Yes, sir. It's just as much available for you today in 1993 as it was 2,000 years ago for us. I mean, you can have it. Well, I appreciate that. I want to go on and talk to some of these other fellas. I want to run over there and talk to that woman down there at the well. I mean, over in the book of John, chapter 4. There's a woman at the well, married 5 men. And the one that she's living with now, if not married to him, and the law wouldn't allow her to, and she's got a man living with him, and oh, it's had a pitiful situation. She's a Samaritan, a half Jew, half breed. But anyhow,
I mean, she got married to this fella, to all these fellas, and she comes upon a man. Now, I want you to talk to me, honey, about that man. Well, I never seen nobody like him. I mean, I come to the well, and he was sitting on that well of Jacob's, and I didn't know who he was, never had seen him before, but he's the strangest looking man I ever looked at. I mean, he looks strange, and he talks strange, and I come to get water, and he asked me for a drink. I said, well, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew, we don't have any dealings. He said, yeah, no, but he said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me, and I'd give you wells of water. I spring it up into everlasting life. And he said, he'd give me this well. I went back to town with a well. I said, come and see a man that's told me all things that I've ever done. Well, honey, I appreciate that. Well, I want to talk to this other lady over here. I see this lady standing over here. I mean, how did you get to Jesus? Well, do you know it's strange how I got to him? Bunch of Pharisees brought me to Jesus. You mean Pharisees done stuff like that? Sure they do. I mean, these did. They caught me in the act of adultery, and they brought me to Jesus. I mean, they just knew that I was going to be put under. Honey, they knew I was going to be stoned, and they brought me to Jesus. But you know what? When he got through with me, they was all gone, and I was all set free, and he told me to sin no more. I mean, you tell me, woman, that you was caught in the very act, and those religious Pharisees brought you? Yes, sir. Far as I know, that's the only ones they ever brought to Jesus. Ain't that good? I mean, I don't care how you bring them. I don't care which way you bring them. I don't care what you catch them in, bring them to Jesus. He'll fix them up. You'll bring them to Jesus, he'll take care of it. Well, I mean, listen. But I mean, you was caught in the very act. Yes, sir. And them Pharisees caught me, brought me. And somebody, well, what did they write in the sand? I don't know. I wasn't looking at the writing. I had my head bowed. I was ashamed. I was in a mess. But somebody said to me, now I'm not talking to the woman now, but I'm telling you what somebody else told me. I believe it was an Indian preacher told me that what they was writing in the sand that day, there's a writing. He wrote down, Jesus wrote twice in the sand. First time they wrote their names. And the second time he bowed down and wrote, he wrote sins. Their sins at the end of their name. Each one of them had a different one. And said to everyone, got up and left. Amen. Well, I mean, do you mean to tell me, now you're the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. You mean to tell me that those fellas left you standing there with Jesus? That's right. And he couldn't have left me with no greater man. He couldn't have left me with nobody that loved me any better. I mean, I've seen a lot of men. I've known a lot of men. But I met that man that day. And he said to me, he said, listen, neither do I condemn you. He said, where's your accusers? And she said, I don't know. They're all gone. I have none. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more. I mean, this is talking stones I'm talking about. This is lively stones. This is a stone that got up and started talking. And she's still a talking. Glory to God, still a talking today. She said, I had sin. I was caught the very act, but I don't have none now. He said, neither do I condemn you. Just go sin no more. Go sin the more. That's right. But I got something inside of me that day. I got born again. And said, old John wrote over there and said, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot. And so he said, go on out there and don't sin the more. And she said, I ain't never been in that mess again. She said, inwardly, I'm as clean as a hound's tooth. Outwardly, I might not be so hot. You say, where is that woman? She's in heaven. You ought to talk to her. I mean, read about it. If Jesus don't condemn her, she can't get condemned. Because the Bible said in the book of Romans, he's the only one that can condemn me. Boy, I bet them Pharisees are screwed up that day. Bet they went back home and said, you better not take nobody to him. I bet them Pharisees, I'd like to talk to them a little bit and see what they got to say. He said, don't take him to Jesus. If you've got anybody in sin, You better get somebody else to stone him. Don't take him to Jesus, because he's got so much love and compassion. I mean, he's such a tender-hearted person. He couldn't throw a pebble at a chigger. I mean, that fella just can't do it. I mean, that man Jesus you're talking about, why, he loves everybody. Why, yeah, he does. Well, I mean, but I heard about old John talking about him. I loving the world so good. And I heard that Jesus said that he loved the world and his father loved the world so good that he sent Jesus to die. I heard about, well, don't take him over there. He's full of love, he's full of grace, and he's full of mercy. Well, I want to talk to another over there. There's a fellow down there at the pool. I'd like to talk to that stone a little while. He's a dead stone laying there at the pool. Can't get in. But I mean, he's going to be made alive in a few minutes. I see this fella come by. And he's laying there. And this man by the name of Jesus comes by. And here that man is laying there at that pool. And he said, what would you be made whole? Said, yeah, if I get somebody put me in the water. But said, every time that water gets troubled, somebody gets ahead of me. Because there ain't nobody here to help me. Well, he said, I'm here. And I ain't going to put you in the water. I'm just going to tell you to get up and walk. Boy, I mean, can you hear that man talking? I mean, here's a stone that said I was laying down there by the pool and it couldn't move. But there's a man come by and said, live. And I'm a living stone. I'm a lively stone. And you know why he saved me? To praise him. I got up so I could praise him. And I want to tell you, I'm happy today. I want to talk to that other fella sitting there at the gate, beautiful. Here goes two Baptist preachers. You say, how you know this Baptist is broke? Said, seven gold have I none. And just to hear recently, that's the way they were. They didn't preach for money back when I was a young man. They preached for the glory of God. And they preached for souls. But here's a fella goes down there. And he said, these two fellas come by. And when I asked them for something, they said, we don't have any. But such as I have, give I thee. And said that fella Peter reached out there and got me by the hand. And there was something went through me. I don't know what. I've never felt nothing before like it. But said my ankle bones got strength. And I jumped up and started leaping. Leaping and shouting. And a praising God, and said, you know where I went? I went with him to church. Well, I'd like to talk to that fella a little more. But how comes you to go to church, son? Well, I got something in my ankle bones that strengthened me to go. I got something that made me want to go. I got something that I felt like I ought to go. And I seen them fellas to go into church. They were going to pray, and I wanted to go with them. But said, they walked and I leaped. I never had jumped before, but man, I'm a jumping now. Oh, you say, I don't believe in that. Of course you don't. Of course you don't. I mean, of course you don't. I know a lot of churches that says, we think we ought to have it quiet. The Lord's here. No. That ain't who's that in your church. I'm talking about you radio folks out there. I know who's in your church making you be quiet. It's that fella says, oh, somebody'll think. Oh, don't worry about that. They quit thinking a long time ago. They think for us up in Washington and up in wherever they make them TV programs and all that stuff. I mean, you don't have to think no more. Quit thinking. Quit thinking because you have quit thinking. If you was thinking while I'm preaching right now, you sitting right here, be a leaping and a praising God. Because you were the same mess that fella was sitting down at the gate, beautiful, begging, didn't have nothing. Well, you say, I got a lot. No, you ain't got nothing. Bible says you're poor and miserable and blind and naked. And without God and all that kind of stuff, you're sitting there telling me you're beautiful. If you've got everything, you're rich and increased in goods. I want to inform you, you don't have anything. If you don't got him, you don't have the gold tied in the fire. If you don't have white raiment, if you don't have some eyesight, you don't have nothing. That's enough to make you leap, ain't it? Amen. You ever found out how much you got in Jesus? Amen. Keep some of the rest of you leaping. Amen. I want to talk to that blind man. See him sitting over there? Yeah. Jesus passing by. He said, "Oh, son of David, have mercy on me. I'll bring him over here." And they brought him to Jesus. Son, he got his eyesight. Yeah. And he's been born from his mother's womb. And then somebody said, "Well, who sinned to cause him to be blind?" Well, bless God, we'd all be blind if that was the case. Amen. There wouldn't nobody be born, because the Bible said we're all born in sin and all shapen in iniquity. And in sin did a mother conceive us, and we came forth from a mother's womb speaking lies. Every one of you'd be stone blind. Amen. Well, who sinned? As Pharisees wanting to know about that. Amen. And they still wanting to know about it. Amen. And I want you to listen. Don't you turn that radio off if you're listening to me. I want to talk to you Pharisees. Amen. Bless God, let me tell you something. Jesus come to open your eyes. Amen. And he didn't blind you to start with. Amen. And it wasn't your sins that blinded you. It wasn't your mommy's sins that blinded you. It was Adam's, if anybody's sin. Pack it on him. That's who done it. We wouldn't have had no blind people if it hadn't been for Adam. We wouldn't have had no sick people if it hadn't been for Adam and Eve. We wouldn't have had nobody out of the garden. He'd still been in there and you wouldn't have been here. But all listen. But you see, that blind man said, "I don't know." They went and asked his mom. He said, "Is this your boy?" "Yeah." "Well, how did he get his eyesight back?" "I don't know. Ask him. He's of age." "Okay, go to the boy and talk to him. How'd you get your eyesight?" "Have no idea. Only thing I know, I was blind and now I see. And the only thing I know is a man come by here and his name is Jesus. Now whatever he done, I don't know how he done it. I can't explain how he done it, but bless God, there's one thing I am explaining to you. I was blind and I never seen, but the first one I seen when my eyesight come to me was Jesus. And the last thing I ever want to see, Jesus. Honey, I want to tell you today, if you ever get saved, it'll be Jesus. And the first thing you blinded sinners will see is the Lord. And all you dead sinners that's going to get resurrected, I'm talking about, you have to be quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Are you sure that you don't know? Did he do some kind of trick on you? I have no idea if it's a trick or not, but it's a work. I'm still a seeing. I'm a feeling good. And you know what? I'd never seen my parents before. Didn't have no idea what they looked like. I never seen a blossom, a flower of no sort. I never seen a rose. But man, I seen the rose of Sharon. I saw the lily of the valley. Put it all in my eyes. I saw the great I am. I saw the King of Kings. And can you imagine a king coming down to a blind man like me and a stopping by where I was and picking me up and a giving me my eyesight? Well, there's some more folks. I don't have hardly time to go talk to them. But I would like to talk to the Apostle Paul over in the book of Acts. "Hey, Paul, I mean, you're down there now. I want to talk to you a little bit. I mean, one time you was a persecuting the church and a killing the Christians. And you had papers in your pocket going down to Jerusalem. I mean, you was going down there to get rid of them. But I mean, you was on the Damascus Road and you was heading out for trouble, buddy. I mean, you was hunting every one of them up to kill them. What happened to you?" "I can't tell you exactly what happened, but there's one thing that did happen. I heard a voice and I saw a light. And best God, I fell and I was a trembling. and it's 3 days before I got my eyesight. But I tell you right now, I talked to the fella. I talked to him, and I didn't see him. He was alive. I couldn't see his face, but I could hear him. And I said, Lord, who is it? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he said, it's hard to kick against the prince. And he said, man, I went down there, and nice. He laid hands on me, and my eyesight came back to me, and I got saved. And I said, I want to tell you something else. All these years I've been preaching, I've never felt nothing like this. I ain't enjoyed nothing better in my life. I mean, all my kin folks and friends and neighbors left me, and I got rejected, and I've been cast out. But said, I've been in the jailhouses. But you know what? He's just as good down at jailhouse as he is up here. I mean, I went down there. Oh, you mean you's a fella? Yes, sir. I mean, old Barnabas one time was in jail, and we got down there and got to singing at midnight, and the jailer got saved. Well, let me talk to the jailer. What happened to you? I don't know, sir, but I was asleep in the bed, and I want to tell you right now, I heard a thundering and a shaking, and the door a flapping, and I'd never heard nothing like it. And I got up and run out there, and the whole outfit of shook up, door standing wide open, and all them prisoners just standing there looking. They weren't nobody wanting to go nowhere, and Paul said, don't fear. Sir, just be quiet. Ain't nobody leaving. And said, I tell you, I washed his stripes. I took him in my house and fed him. I turned him loose. And I said, tell me what I must do to be saved. And he said, oh, Paul said, all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I can't believe that. Well, that's the way it is. That's amazing to me, too. Yeah, but that's Paul said, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Well, I've got a lot more I could talk to you about. Living stones. Build up a spiritual priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Now, I could talk to you about some more of them. And one more I would like to talk to you about. That's John on the Isle of Patmos. John, I heard that day you was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's right. I heard a voice behind me. Really? Yeah. What happened to you, John? I fell as a dead man. He put his hand on me and raised me up and said, get up. I want you to write things that are, things that are now, things that was, and things that shall be. Well, John, you wrote the book of Revelation. Hard to be understood. I know that. It was for me too. But you know what? What I see, I saw in the Spirit. And imagine if you ever understand that book of Revelation, son, you'll probably have to get the same spirit I got in. And you'll probably have to be on the Isle of Patmos about like me, going through tribulation just like me. You can't sit in padded pews and drive big NASCARs and not have any trouble and ever find out what's going on. You've got to get in it before you can find out about it. So since you don't want to get into tribulation, you don't want to get in no trouble, and you want to be nice and handsome and fine and fancy, I doubt if you'll ever find it out. But if you'll ever get to the Word of God, and it ever gets so bound up till you'll have to be thrown on the Isle of Patmos before you'll give up the Word, you ain't going to give up that King James Bible you got. You're going to hang with it, ain't you, son? Yes, sir, John. Okay, then you're heading out for the Isle of Patmos. You're liable to learn something about Revelation. You're liable to learn something about them things coming on this earth. Oh, I mean, John, and there is a lot of things I'd like to ask him. I'd like to ask him if he knows any more about those angels over there in the river Euphrates. I'd like to know that if he knows any more about them, that you're going to get burnt. One third of the whole world population going to be burnt up. And I believe that's going to be for the rapture. Oh, excuse me. I'm on the radio. I didn't mean to say that, because I know what these premillennial boys are going to say about me. They say, oh, Potter, don't believe in the rapture. I do, because I'm going out to Thessalonians. Yeah. When the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and I'm going to be chained in a moment. Be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be of the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, I'm going to let you go. Let's stand our feet. You thought, well, that's strange. It is. I mean, I could tell.
You were looking strange while I was preaching. God gave me that the other day. Thank you.